Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message. For more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
So fun to be with you guys, always. This is, Laura and I always say, when we get to come to The Dwelling, this is the fun church. Don't tell the other churches that we go to that we say that. Shh, our little secret, okay? Would you guys join me in prayer? Father, thank you so much for this time to come before you. To come to hear what you have to say to us. Open our ears to hear your words. Open our hearts to be able to apply this to our lives. Open our hands, Lord, to reach out to the people around us. Bless us in this time. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen. We all want to make a difference, don't we? We want to have an impact. We want to leave a legacy. Last time I got to be here with you guys, we talked a little bit about how God can make an eternal difference through us. And today I want to talk a little bit about how. Because I believe that a big impact, an eternal difference, if you will, can be made through something as small as a glass of your favorite beverage and the Dwelling koozie in a lawn chair in your front yard. But we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. You guys have been in a series here at The Dwelling looking at voices, those voices that we listen to. And I'm just going to take a look at the ones that you guys have done so far. You've talked about what do we do when we've made a huge mistake? What voice do we listen to? What do we do when life gets hard? What do we do when life is good? And today I want to take a look at a slightly different voice. I want to look at the voice of Jesus, somebody we should probably be paying attention to, right? I want to wrestle with the question, what do we do when Jesus asks us to do something impossible? It's a strange question, right? What do we do when Jesus asks us to do something impossible? The very last words that Jesus said on earth before he ascended were, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey, to observe, to keep everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Have you realized before that that is an impossible task? Jesus says, make disciples. And I don't know about you, but in my own walk with Jesus, I've got my own stuff that I'm dealing with. In my own walk, being a disciple of Jesus, I've got my own mistakes and failures that I'm trying to deal with, that I'm trying to get under control, that I'm trying to deal with, those things that hold me back. How on earth am I supposed to make disciples? How on earth am I supposed to exert that on somebody else? That just doesn't make sense to me, and there's a good reason for that. You see, the truth of the matter is, the Holy Spirit is the one who makes disciples. The Holy Spirit is the only one who can bring people from being disconnected to being a disciple of Jesus who's walking with him. So really, probably the better question for us to wrestle with is, can we join the Holy Spirit in the conversation he is already having with people? Can we join the Holy Spirit in the conversation he is already having with people? We see this all throughout Scripture. There's this great story in your Bible where this guy named Philip is going along where God has told him to be, along this certain road. And he comes across this man riding in a chariot who's from Ethiopia. And the Holy Spirit says to Philip, go over there to that chariot. And so Philip does. And he realizes that this man who's riding in the chariot is reading from the scroll of Isaiah. He's reading God's word right there. The Holy Spirit has already been working in this guy's heart. All Philip has to do is show up. I want to propose to you guys that sometimes all it takes to make disciples is for us to show up, to pay attention to the conversation the Holy Spirit is already having with somebody. And so I asked you an unusual question. What do we do when Jesus asks us to do the impossible? And so I'm going to give you an unusual answer too, okay? The unusual answer is we throw a party. We throw a party. Track with me for a little bit here. There's a couple of reasons why we should throw a party. We have every reason to. We have the very best reason to be party people, to celebrate. We have a history throughout the scriptures of being party people. And finally, Jesus gives us the example to follow. First off, we have every reason to celebrate. Now, I don't know where you're coming from this morning. If you've been walking with Jesus your whole life, if you're still kind of checking this stuff out and not really sure about it. So let me start by saying this. I want to make a difference in this world. And I believe the very best way to make a difference in this world is through self-sacrificial love. And I believe the very best example that we have of that self-sacrificial love is Jesus. That's why I want to pay attention to him. And as I listen to what Jesus tells us through his word, through the Bible, it tells us that he gave up his throne in heaven, that he left all the indescribable joys of heaven to come down to us because there was no way we could reach up to God. We're too broken. We make mistakes. We make failures. We have that inability to reach up to God, so God came down to us. Jesus himself came down to live for us, to die on the cross for us, to forgive our sins, to make a way for us to get to God. That's what Jesus has done for us. Can we marvel for just a little bit at that gift of salvation? Jesus loves us so much that he did all of those things for us. That self-sacrificial love was at play for you and for me. And now, because of Jesus, all who believe the scriptures tell us get to spend eternity in this incredible celebration that the biblical authors could only compare to the biggest parties they could imagine at that time. They describe it to a wedding feast, these incredible celebrations where the whole community was invited. Friends, we have every reason to celebrate. Additionally, we have a history of being party people. As we look at the Bible, at the stories that are in the Bible, we see over and over again God's people celebrating, God's people throwing parties. Do you remember the story when Jesus is telling people this parable, this story about a son who runs away from his dad, who demands his share of the inheritance, basically tells his dad, "Dad, I wish you were dead. Give me my share of the money." And then he goes off and he squanders it all. He ends up with no money, as you might imagine, and ends up groveling, coming back, wanting to just beg his dad for a position in the household as a servant, just so he can have enough food to eat. What does the dad do? He runs to his son. He welcomes him back home, and then he throws a party. Not just any little party, mind you. This is a big party. He takes the house and he throws it out the window. They go and they kill the fatted calf. They go and they invite the entire community so everyone in the community can see that this son who was dead is now alive. This son who had a broken relationship is now restored. When God's people were in Egypt, when they were rescued from slavery in Egypt, they actually started this annual celebration, this annual feast, where they would gather together and remember every year what God had done for them. When God's people were brought back from exile in Babylon, they gathered together. They read God's word to remind themselves what God had done for them, and then they threw a party. As the people of God, we have a history as the church throughout the ages of being party people. And finally, Jesus gives us the best example. Everybody loves a good party, even Jesus. We're going to take a look at a passage here from John chapter 2. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus was also invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone jars, water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Do a little math with me here. 6 times 20, what are we coming out to? And 6 times 30, what are we coming out to? I'm glad y'all could do that. I studied theology. I can't do math. All right. So, big old pile of water. Jesus says to the servants, fill the jars with water, and they filled them to the brim. Then he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. What happens? So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone serves the good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Just a little bit of context about what's going on in this story. In the ancient Jewish culture, when you threw a wedding, you invited the entire community. Hospitality was a huge deal in that culture. And so, if you ran out of the ability to care for your guests, it was a major cultural faux pas. It was a major offense against people. At this particular wedding, the unthinkable happens. The hosts run out of the ability to care for their guests. And so the rumors, I'm sure, start flying. Mary catches ear that something is wrong. And so she sends Jesus in. She tells the servants, do whatever Jesus tells you to do. And what did Jesus tell them? He didn't say, guys, well, you know, this party's been going on for a while, which happened in those days. These weddings could last a week. Jesus doesn't say, you know, guys, we've been partying since Sunday. It's now Wednesday. Maybe instead of wine, we should switch to Gatorade. Jesus doesn't say, well, hey, guys, we're out of wine. Guess you got to go home. No, Jesus takes an enormous amount of water and transforms it into wine. And not just any wine, mind you. Good wine. Wine that made the stuff the bride and groom toasted with in the beginning taste like the cheap stuff. Jesus loved a good wine party. And we do too. We have every reason to celebrate because of the gift that Jesus gives to us. We have a history as the church throughout the ages of being party people. We have the example of Jesus that we get to follow. We get to be a part of celebrating. Because ultimately, making disciples is not a task that we can accomplish. The Holy Spirit is the one who can transform lives, who can bring people from being disconnected to being a follower of Jesus. And so the very best thing that we can do when faced with that impossible task of making disciples is throwing a party. Because hospitality, having somebody over to our house, to our front yard, out for coffee, and having a conversation with them, joining in that conversation that the Holy Spirit is already having with them, is the very best way to make disciples. Are we tracking this morning? Yeah. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, okay, I get that. I get that I'm not able to make disciples. I want to be a part of what Jesus has asked me to do in this, and I want to take that next step. I want to be a party person. I want to join in this incredible history that we have of being celebratory people. I want to follow the example of Jesus. I'm just not sure quite how to start. Let me give you three suggestions, three simple ways forward, next steps, if you will. The first one I want to give to you guys is look for everyday opportunities. Look for those everyday opportunities around us. Pastor Seth sometimes calls this putting our mission goggles on. Because who knows who is around us, who the Holy Spirit is messing with, who the Holy Spirit is already having a conversation with, that we get to join into. One of our friends who's on our team wasn't able to be at our last gathering because she was on a work trip. And as she was in the airport waiting for her flight to be able to go on this business trip, she noticed the guy sitting next to her looked kind of sad, so she asked him what was going on. She found out that this older gentleman had a young lady, a friend of a friend, who had just been diagnosed with cancer. And he was struggling to try to come up with the words to give comfort, the words that he could say to somehow try to let her know that he cared, try to let her know that he wanted to be there for her. And so our friend got to walk with him through that, got to encourage him as he's trying to wrestle with how to love somebody in a tough situation. And her parting words when she got on her flight were, I'm going to be praying for you. That was one of those text messages I got as we were preparing for our launch team party last week. Would you guys pray for this new friend, Tim, who I met in the airport, who's struggling with how he's going to be able to bring hope to somebody? Can we open our eyes to those everyday opportunities that God surrounds us with? The second suggestion I have for you guys is to create space for community. There's an author named Hugh Halter, and he and his family decided that they were going to start to get to know the neighbors living around them. And so what they did is they went out to Walmart, they bought a couple of rocking chairs, and they put them out in their front yard. And they would drink their coffee out in the front yard every morning and wave to their neighbors as they left for work. Coffee in the front yard soon became having something in the front yard after work, a beverage of choice, if you will, perhaps even in a the dwelling koozie, and inviting the neighbors over to join them for happy hour in the front yard. That transformed into having neighbors over for dinner, which transformed into having neighborhood parties where they would all gather and celebrate, which eventually, true story, became a church. It started not just in Denver where they lived, they also did this when they lived in Portland and another church was started. But it all began with creating space for community. Guys, we live crazy busy lives, don't we? Our calendars are full to the brim, sometimes to the point of overflowing. But when we carve out a little bit of time for community, can you imagine the possibilities of what God can do with that? The final suggestion I have for us this morning is just do it. Just do it. Did I steal that from Nike? Yes, I did. Don't tell them either. Our little secret. Just do it. I'm going to share with you a story of my failure. Back when Laura and I lived in San Antonio, we lived there for about 7 years before we were called to be a part of planting a church up in this area. And when we first moved to San Antonio, I had these grand ideas of getting to know our neighbors. I was just so excited and so full of enthusiasm. I told Laura, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go out and we're going to do like a reverse meet the neighbor type thing. You know, when people used to like come over to the new people who had moved in and they brought them like cookies on a plate and stuff, we're going to take that and we're going to flip it. We're going to be the ones who make cookies. We're going to take them out to the neighbors. We're going to introduce ourselves to them. It's going to be awesome. And then we got all of our boxes unpacked and we got all of our offices unpacked and we got rolling and it just didn't happen. And so it was shortly after that I realized time had just passed a little too much to where it would be kind of awkward to bring cookies over and say, hey, we're the neighbors who've lived next to you now for several months. Didn't want to be that guy. So I started having this idea that we should throw a block party. I told Laura, you know, it'd be great. We could gather everybody together. We could get some partitions off and block off the street, have a celebration in the street, a chance to meet and greet the neighbors. It would be fantastic. And it still didn't happen. And the reason why it didn't happen is because we got busy. And let me tell you guys, we were busy with good things. We were volunteering at church. We were working with the youth group. We were leading Bible studies. We were spending time with family. All really good things. And at the end of 7 years, I still didn't know most of the people that I lived around. Right before Flint was born, we decided we needed to start doing something. And so we actually got a couple of Adirondack chairs, and we put them outside of the house that we lived at in San Antonio. I think we have a picture of that house as well. Thanks, Heather. So we had a couple of Adirondack chairs that we put out in front of our house. It was the, kind of our front porch patio type thing. And we would sit out there in the evening time, and we would pour our beverage of choice, and we would greet our neighbors as they came home from work or whatever they were up to. Well, greeting our neighbors very shortly turned into inviting them over for a glass of whatever we had open, if it was wine or a beverage of whatever we happened to have in the fridge. And before long, our neighbor across the street finally came over and joined us. So we went and grabbed like a chair from the living room or dining room and dragged it out to the front yard and sat outside. It wasn't long before his wife would also come over and join us, after they had put their baby to bed. And so we would all sit outside on our front porch and sip whatever we had open, and we would listen to our baby monitors all together. And I remember one evening where we were all sitting together, and this is really the key. This is how Jesus redeemed the story of my failure to connect with my neighbors. We were sitting together, and I was telling our friend William, you know, William, we really got to throw a block party. National Night Out is coming up at some point here. We know some neighbors, not as many as you know because you've lived here longer. We should do a block party at some point. That would be just really cool. I was being very non-committal about it all. And that's when Laura spoke up. And the Holy Spirit spoke through Laura and said, you know, we've been talking about doing a block party for years. Why don't we just open up our calendars, pick a date, and just do it? Just do it. And so Laura and our friend Claire opened up their calendars. They found a date in mid-April about the time of Fiesta in San Antonio, and we started making plans. And it wasn't anything fancy, y'all. We were going to drag out our 10x10 canopy to the end of the driveway. We were going to serve chips, bean dip, and beverages. And Flint and I were going to go and deliver paper invitations to the people who lived on our block and the two surrounding blocks. And yet, as Flint and I went door to door and delivered these invitations, I kept hearing the same thing over and over again. People would take the invitation, they would look down at it, and then they'd look up at me, and they would say, I'm so glad somebody is doing this. I've been wanting to throw a block party for years. There was a craving for community. And so all told, when the day of the party finally arrived, a Thursday in the middle of April, 75 people showed up to this block party. There was a craving for community there, and it was incredible to see what God did with some of those conversations. Some of our friends from church were in the neighborhood. Their kid was playing baseball nearby. And so they dropped by after his game, and we got to introduce them to some of the people that we had just met in our neighborhood, which led to more conversations about, well, that's really cool. What church do y'all belong to? Tell me more about that. And I pray that somewhere in the midst of those conversations, someone took one small step closer to Jesus. The plan is pretty simple, y'all. Look for those everyday opportunities. Create a little space for community. And if you need some encouragement this morning, then please take it from me. Just do it. I want to offer you a challenge this morning, a next step. I want to challenge you in the next week to go and grab your lawn chair from your garage or wherever you got it stored. Drag it out to the end of your driveway, to the end of your street, wherever that looks like for you. Pour you a beverage of choice, whatever that might look like for you, and sit outside, enjoy your beverage, and greet your neighbors as they come home from work. Let me ask you, what is the absolute worst that could happen there? You sit outside in the fresh air, you enjoy your beverage of choice. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? Worst case scenario, you don't see anybody. But I like that scenario a lot better than the one where I wait another 7 years to get to know the people that God has placed around me. What do we do when Jesus asks us to do an impossible task? We throw a party because our God is the one who can accomplish the impossible. Look for those everyday opportunities. Create a little space for community, and please, just do it. Because a big impact can be made through something as small as a beverage in your front yard, in your lawn chair. So what are we waiting for? Would y'all pray with me? Father, we thank you that you are the God who accomplishes the impossible. It is impossible for us to reach up to you because of our brokenness, our sinfulness, Lord. There was just no way that we were going to be able to go to you, and yet you provided a way. Your son Jesus came down for us, loved us, died and rose for us so we can be with you forever. Thank you for that incredible love. Thank you for that grace And thank you for the chance that we have to live in that, to share that with the people around us. God, whatever that looks like for us today, if it's us wrestling with, are you who you really say you are, then Lord, show that. If it's us wrestling with, Lord, what's the next step for me? How can I get to know my neighbors? Reveal that too. Give us your boldness to be able to take a step in whatever direction you lead us, O Lord. You accomplish the impossible, and we get to walk with you. Help us to invite others to walk with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
Cool. Praise God. Man, that's huge. I tell you what, we're going to need some help taking stuff down. Basically, from here back, can go in that back room. If you can't, if you're not able to help and stuff, you just got to go. That's cool, too. But let me just quick say something, just real quick. Don't go quit yet. Man, that's a powerful word. I don't know how you heard that this morning, but I know my wife and I, Jacqueline and I, we were kind of discussing because we knew some of this was going to be talked about. Man, that's powerful. And what here's the power in it. Here's the power in that message for anything that might be in your life. You're not in control, folks. You're not in control. See, we always want to take, and this is why we sometimes hear this and we think of this message as really hard message, right? Because we want to make stuff happen. And that's in so many areas of our lives, not only meeting your neighbor. That's in every single aspect of your life. You want to be in control. And here's what's up. One of the best ways of maybe just kind of demonstrating your faith in the Almighty God and the fact that He's in control is to throw a party, hang out with some people, drink some cool stuff. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the posture of faith, where we recognize we're not in control, God's in control. We can just enjoy people. We can be in relationship with people because we know how much God has loved us. We can begin to love people like that. Let me leave you with a blessing. Let me leave you with a blessing. May our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you and keep you this next week. May He give you the strength. May He give you the strength to take a next step, whatever that might look like for you this next week in hearing Pastor Mark's message, really hearing from God this morning. May you receive what you need in that. And may we continue to lean in this next week to the voice that matters most, God Himself. The Lord bless you guys. Have a great week, guys. You're awesome. Booyah, booyah, booyah.